Herb Weisbaum is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. And Herb, I hear you are the king of all money, so that is huge. And I welcome you into the program. Thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate you being up. For one, let me bring you on in on the phone here. Hi, Herb. How are you?
Oh, great. Oh, I'm a member of the family.
Oh, good. Me too. Let's Simitov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
No, not that family.
Oh,
the
no.
WG. All right.
The DiGilio family.
Oh, okay. But I got that other family right, too, Herbert.
One's a tribe and one's a family.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I thought you picked up on my heritage real quick there. I was impressed. But
no, it's really funny. But anyway.
Yeah, okay. So, hey, let's talk about these interest rates, which are moving up here. Everybody wants to know where to put their money, Herb. And do I need to buy that house right now because am I going to be paying 7% to get whatever I can afford in a year from now? What's your take on the way the economy is moving and interest rates, starting to move pretty well? I guess, are they moving it to the way that we thought they would?
Up.
Yeah, up.
In a word, up.
Yeah.
Yes, here's what's going on, and here's what I wrote about. You may have noticed, if you've seen any ads in the paper, that some interest rates for savings, personal savings account, are starting to go up. Now, across the country, they're pretty meager, but they're starting to move up, and I see ads in our paper here in Seattle all the time for certificates to deposit and high-interest savings accounts that are actually a good enough rate now to catch my attention, which hasn't been something we've seen for a couple of years now. The Fed is raising rates, and that is trickling through the economy, and now banks are raising some of their rates as well. So they've been historically low. I mean, really, the most credit unions and banks, the national average for savings account is less than a tenth of a percent. 0.09% is about the average for savings accounts in the country right now. But if you look around, you can find some really decent rates. For example, the average annual percentage yield for a one-year certificate deposit right now is about 2.4-2.5%. That's pretty high compared to where we've been. Top-yielding national available one-year CD is 2.55%. The last time an interest rate for a one-year CD was higher than that was back in June of 2009. That's a pretty big pretty long time we've been waiting. Money market accounts, you can find them for as high as 2%, and the best yielding high interest savings accounts are paying just a little over 2% right now, and the last time top yielding savings accounts were above 2% was again back in 2009, September of that year. So we're sort of going back a little bit to the old days where you actually got rewarded for saving money. It's nothing to sell the farm over, but it does make some people start to think about maybe it's time to move their money just a little bit, or shift some new savings, or do a little bit of adjustments. We can talk about that if you want.
Well, okay, so Herb, this is Herb Weisbaum with us here, who is going to help us all get rich right now. Herb, 2% is great if you think the stock market is about to go down 15%, but it's not.
Well, remember, this is 2% guaranteed, and nobody's, I'm not going to make you rich, and you don't get rich by putting money in cash savings. What you do is you put a little bit of the savings in a situation where you know you're not going to lose your principal, which is important in this day and age when things can go up and down.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one expert I talked to from the Motley Fool, he usually has his investment mix of 70% stock and 30% in bonds. That's where his allocation sort of is. So he's pretty high risk for his investments because he's a younger guy. But now what he's done is he's modified that to 70% stock, 20% bonds, and 10% cash. So he knows that cash is making a guaranteed return on investment for him, about 2% or so. And he's also got the cash to move around. If he sees an investment that he thinks is a good deal, he's got that there making money for him, but then he can also use it to cash in on something if he sees it. So you are never going to get rich, and you're going to never beat inflation in most cases if you keep your money in cash savings. And no one is suggesting that. It's only suggesting that some things now they're good enough interest rates that some of your portfolio you may put a little bit into a cash savings. For instance, in my case, I'm now old enough that I'm getting a pension. Some of my income is coming from a pension, and I get that in a lump sum every 3 months. Well, in the old days, I'd be taking that and putting it into a checking account or a money market account and getting 0% interest for my money. Now I put in a high interest savings account. I'm getting almost 2% on my money, and then when I need it, I move it into my checking account automatically. I transfer it, and then I use it for paying checks. So I'm getting some kind of, I'm not going to put that money in the stock market, but I am going to keep it in a high interest checking account that's going to make a fairly decent guaranteed return for me, and I know my principal is not at risk.
So do you have to have a certain amount of money in that checking account that gets you 2% at all times?
Some of them do, some of them don't. There are some of these accounts that you could open them for as little as $50 or $100, and some of them require more, as $500 to $1,000. But it's not like we're talking about a $25,000 certificate of deposit or anything like that. The other thing is, if you're going to put a little bit of money into CDs, what you want to make sure is not to go too far out. All the experts are saying that interest rates are going to continue to go up, and if that's the case, you don't want to be locked in right now to a 2.5% or 3% CD, and then the interest rates are going to jump up in a year or so to 5% because you'd be penalized if you tried to remove that money. So the best advice at this point in time is, if you're locking in with a penalty, such as with a CD, don't lock in for too long. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years, 6 months isn't bad, but don't go much further out than that because you could be running into a jeopardy situation if interest rates go up dramatically, as most people expect them to do.
So if you're thinking about buying a house, Herb, now, do it now. Is that fair to say?
The market is actually changing. The latest reports are showing that the market is starting to level off or cool off, and it's different in every part of the country. I mean, here in Seattle, we've gone from double-digit price increases to just single-digit price increases. In most markets now, there's more inventory on the market. A house is never anything you rush just because you're trying to beat interest rates, or your house is a significant investment that you better think about it long and hard because you're making a long-term decision. I think a lot of the panic buying has calmed down. The market has settled down. More homes are coming on the market. The higher interest rates have scared off a lot of people. So actually, for some people, and especially where I live now, there's more breathing room. We're not having as many bidding wars as we had. It's probably the same thing in Chicago. I think that market has cooled off a little bit. Buyers are a little bit willing to negotiate on the price, which just a couple of months ago, nobody was willing to negotiate on price. So I don't think anybody's going to buy a house based on you better jump on and save because of the interest rates. It's a very, very complicated decision that a lot of factors take place.
Fair enough. Okay, Herb, let's move on to another thing you wrote about here. The title is How to Find the Best Deal When Booking a Hotel Room. Now, I'm one of these people that loves to do the Expedia, the Priceline, let me bid on it, let me try to get the very best deal possible. Of course, you do that, you're locked into that hotel, you cannot cancel. If something happens, too bad, unless you get the insurance. But so what do you got here for an advice here? Like, and of course, all these websites bundle your deals, get your flight and your hotel together, and you'll save X amount of dollars. Do you have some wise words here where you can actually get the most bang for your buck?
Yeah, well, first of all, the whole point of this story was a survey that was done by a consumer organization called Checkbook.org, and they actually price shopped these various online travel agencies, as they're called, that do hotels and do airlines and rental cars. They shop more than 3,500 rates on 18 different online travel agencies, plus the hotel websites themselves, and they got rates for one-night stays, three-night stays, and seven-night stays in 46 different cities and 12 foreign ones as well, and they basically found out that almost in every case, a majority of the cases, the price that they got from the various sites was exactly the same, and from the hotel website as well. And the reason why that's happening, my reporting found out, was that because many of these big chain hotels are requiring these websites to sign deals with them that basically says we will never undercut the rate that you are listing on your website, the hotel. So it's a very convenient way to shop. It's a very good way to compare prices very quickly. But if you think you're going to get a major deal by shopping on one of these websites, according to this survey by Checkbook, you're really not going to find those kind of deals. If you want to do a deal, you've got to do that mystery shopping where you put this, say, I want a hotel that's 4 stars in this neighborhood, I'm looking for this kind of thing, et cetera, et cetera, and then they shop for you. You have to pay your money, and they shop for you, and then you know what hotel you're looking for. They found that there's a significant amount of savings with those kind of things. They found like a 38% savings when they shop that way. And I spoke to a travel agent, a travel expert, who runs a website called Travelers United. His name's Charlie Leoka, and he travels this way all the time. And he says there are so many filters now built in to selecting the room that people don't really need to be afraid, unless you specifically want to stay at a certain hotel, of shopping this way with the mystery shopping, because you really do get, he says, sometimes I can even figure out which hotel or two I'm going to get because of all the options they give me. So they get the Hotwire, Hotrate, or the Priceline Express deal. Those two mystery shopping services are the ones that they found give you the best bang for your buck. Hotwire, Hotrate, or Priceline Express. In very limited cases will you find a deal on one of those online travel agents, and again, you're probably going to get the exact same price that you're going to get from the hotel, which you might want to do if you're a member, like I am, of certain hotel groups, and you're going to get special privileges if you book through the hotel. But don't get carried away with the ads, or you're going to have major savings. One last tip, if you join some of these services, like if you join Expedia or you join Travelocity and become a member, you may get 10% off. You may get offered a 10% discount at some hotels off the price you initially see on the website, but you're not going to get a huge bang for your buck. You got to do the mystery shopping to do that.
All right, I'm hitting on all cylinders on that one. That's what I do, because I don't care. Four star, give me the Hyatt, give me the DoubleTree, give me the one. It doesn't matter. It can be on that corner, it can be on this corner. Let me just pay less. I'm barely going to spend any time in the hotel room anyway. I'm on a trip. All right, I feel good about myself there, Herb. Let's talk about the cost of the 2018 data breach study, which of course was a major deal here. With you got millions of records, $40 million. What can you tell us about what's going on there?
Well, this was a study that was done by IBM Security and also the Ponemon Institute, and they want to look at how much it costs the companies to have data breaches. I mean, we all know what it does to us. You know, we have to redo our credit cards, and we have to always be on lookout, and maybe we have free credit monitoring or whatever. But what does it cost the companies? Why it makes sense to try to prevent these things from happening and have all the protocols in place to spot them very quickly if one of them does happen? And they found, here's the takeaway. First of all, the average total cost of a data breach is now about $3.8 million, up about 6.5% from last year. The average cost for each lost record is about $141 or so. And healthcare organizations had the highest costs associated with a lost or stolen record. Those were $408, three times higher than average. And that's because the bad guys really want health records. They can do a lot of stuff with your medical record, like get free medical services, buy drugs, do all kinds of things, and have them billed to you. So this is why those are so damaging when they get breached. They also took a look at, for the first time, the mega breaches, the really, really huge breaches that involve more than 1 million records. And they analyzed 11 of those, and to the companies that have these would be like the Equifax breach and the Target breach and that sort of thing. These have a major financial impact. The average cost of these mega breaches involving 1 million records or more was nearly $40 million. If the breach had 50 million records, it was $350 million. And the longer it takes to detect the breach and contain it, the more money it winds up costing you. And so, again, the incentive for these companies is to try to find protocols and put them in place to make sure it doesn't happen in the first place, and to spot them rapidly and deal with them in the second place, because it could have a lot of money. People, you know, even though companies have not at this point, many companies gone out of business from a data breach, I mean, like with the Target breach we saw, people actually stop shopping there for a while. And they don't forget for a while, and it keeps coming up in news stories. So there's a lot of downside to having a breach, especially if you're a well-known website, have that go out there. People really do pay attention to these sort of things, and it can cost you long-term business.
Herb Weissman, great stuff here. Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. Let's wrap up with this story, Herb. Apparently, millennials are looking to buy some property, which is cool, but they don't quite have the dough, at least in some cases, to make the down payment, because, you know, houses are more expensive nowadays. So they're dipping into their 401ks to get the money for a down payment. Now, is this a good move? Because now you do have a piece of property, you're not renting, so perhaps, you know, long term it's the right play, but otherwise you've been dipping into that 401k when in your 30s or late 20s, that's not exactly ideal. How do you think this will work out down the line?
All the financial experts I spoke to said this is a really, really bad idea. The problem here is millennials actually want a home. Everybody says, oh, millennials don't want a home. They're different from previous generations. Actually, according to all surveys, millennials actually do want a home. About 90% or more actually said that that's their goal in life, to have one of these homes. But they cost so much and the down payments are so high, that's what's stopping many of them from getting one of these places. Just to give you an example, the median selling price for a house right now in the U.S. is about $231,000, according to Zillow. So if you have to come up with a 10% down payment, that's $23,000. That can be a real deal breaker. Where I live, a hot market such as Seattle, where the median selling price is $710,000 and 20% down is the rule, you got to come up with $142,000 to make that down payment. I mean, that's a staggering amount of money. So what some millennials are doing is they're raiding their retirement accounts. They're going to this money. This is according to a study by the Bank of the West, taking that money out thinking, well, at least I'm making this long-term investment on buying a house. All the financial experts I spoke to say that what that basically is doing is cutting off your nose to spite your face. You got to have financial planning. You got to be able to afford the house. And if you cannot make the down payment, then you should not be buying that house. Talk to your family, your friends, see if you can borrow some from them, maybe work a second job for a year or two and save up some money and put it just for the down payment. But they say this is not the right way to go about it. If after hearing all of that advice, people listening say, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I got to have that house and I want to get it now, then the key is to make sure that you borrow from the retirement account and do not take a withdrawal from the retirement account. If you borrow, you have to pay it back, and you have to pay it back with interest, but it's not a tax consequence event. If you withdraw from your retirement account, that is then taxed. That money is then taxed by Uncle Sam. And they have penalties for that because they don't want you to take it out early. So again, the advice is this is not the way to go. This is not the thing you should be doing, taking it out of your retirement account. You're looking at short-term gain for long-term loss. And remember, millennials are probably not going to have pensions. Millennials are going to be dealing on all the money they set aside on their own. Who knows what Social Security is going to be at that point in time. You got to look at the long term, and the more you keep in and it builds up over time, the bigger that nest egg is going to be. By taking that money out, you're going to really lop that down and hurt yourself in the long run. If you think you have to do that, you may not be ready to buy a house.
What percent can you borrow on your retirement account? Can you take it
out? I don't know the exact figures of how much you could possibly take out. I just don't have that information.
Right. Okay.
But again, it's not a very, very smart thing to do.
Right. Okay.
And if people want to read more about this, as always, all these stories are on my website, consumerman.com. And with this story, I list a whole bunch of things you can do first before you try to take money out of your retirement account, such as a website called downpaymentresource.com, which helps you find free and available cash for down payments. There's all kind of incentives for making down payments or getting homes at a discount price for various reasons. There are HUD houses, there are FHA foreclosures, the USDA helps people out who want to buy a home and refurbish it in rural areas. There's all kinds of ways that you can get money or down payment or try to do some things to bring down the cost of a house. VHA loans, there's special loans for low and moderate income families. So before you even start to think about taking money out of your retirement account, check this article out. Look for the various things you should do first and how you might be able to. There's also credit counselors, bona fide nonprofit credit counselors that are now trained in housing, and they will talk you through this and explain your options to you. And again, that information is all listed with this story on consumerman.com.
And what about your newsletter, Herb? How do you get that, and how do they follow you on social media?
All you have to do is go to my website, consumerman.com. You get a little pop-up window. It'll say you want to sign up for the newsletter. You sign up. It's free. I don't share any of that information with anybody but my dog, so you can make sure that it's really safe when you give it to me. And I'm on Twitter at The Consumer Man and Facebook at Consumer Man.
Herb, great to talk to you, man. Appreciate the knowledge. You're super strong, Herb. I'm glad that we're in the family / tribe, all of you.
You take care.
Be well, Herb. Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. There we go. As we kick off the show, Herb Weisbaum, Superman, giving you the information. Don't borrow on your retirement account. You know, if you can't afford your house, I thought he gave some good advice there. Call up the parents. Let them help you out. If they can't help you out, call up a friend. Don't do that, millennials. You want a home. I see you. Consumerman.com. All right, let's take a quick time out. We'll get you into the 1:30 news. Vic will have that for you in about 3 minutes on 720 WGN.